You'll find this in your pew Bibles at page 1052. But before we start to read, I just want to put it into the context. Last week, we had a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and we heard of Nicodemus, one of the in-crowd as far as the Judaism was concerned. Today, we have an outsider encountering Jesus. Nicodemus was a nighttime visit, a secretive visit to Jesus. Today, it's an encounter with a woman who was an outsider. She's a Samaritan, so she's an outsider as far as Judaism is concerned. But it's in broad daylight. It's in the sixth hour, which in our terminology represents midday. The woman is a Samaritan. She is a person that this story will unfold. She's had quite a wide experience in life. One of those experiences would have been that she would not be seen to speak to an unmarried man, let alone a Jew. Now, if you can picture for a moment the Sea of Galilee in the north, the Dead Sea in the south, the River Jordan between, and then you have Jerusalem a little bit to the side. The broad area in between the Sea of Galilee and Jerusalem was where Samaria was. A lot of that area today is West Bank territory. And this actually takes place, this incident takes place in an area that today is in the West Bank, but in the time of Jesus was in Samaria, the old part of the Northern Kingdom. Jews travelling from the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, beside it, down to Jerusalem, would go over to the coast and down. They would not come straight through the middle. But Jesus did. And it was because Jesus came down through Samaria, down past where Jacob's well, not the Jacob's well on the Gold Coast, but Jacob's well had been established in the Old Testament times. That's where Jesus has this encounter with a woman who has come doing a woman thing, collecting water for her household. So we pick the passage up. I'm not going to read it all, but we pick it up from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 5. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Let's pause for a minute there. A most unexpected setting. Most unexpected. Jesus has a physical need. He's tired, he's thirsty, he needs a drink. He's travelling. His friends, the disciples, have gone into town to get some food. We find that in the next verse, actually, if you in brackets. But that's the same. And this woman comes. What does she say? The Samaritan woman says to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, the well is deep, where can I get this living water? Jesus is talking about living water. Now, when I was a Boy Scout, many, many years ago, I was told that if I was ever on a hike and I was thirsty and I came to a stream, you had to find the running or living water to drink from. Because you wouldn't drink it from the pool, because chances are the pools might be stagnant. But this is a well that Jesus is talking about, or that Jesus is beside. The well that the woman has come to draw water from. It's not a stream. So how can Jesus say that he would have given living water? Jesus is talking in spiritual terms, isn't he? He's talking about something that is alive and vital. Just as last week we heard about Nicodemus and water and the Spirit, here Jesus is talking, in this case, to the Samaritan woman about living water, about spiritual drink, spiritual care, spiritual nourishment. Does the woman understand that? Obviously not. She's not clued in. Many of the Samaritans were believers in God. Many of the Samaritans worship. We're going to hear that. Let's move down. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to drink, to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. Well, we'll come back to the story. As the story unfolds, I said that this, in the introduction, this woman was one who had a lot of life experience. And part of that life experience was the fact that she had many husbands. That we can't read into the story about any inappropriate behaviour. It's just a fact. She's had many husbands. And in, as she confesses to Jesus, or as Jesus says to her, which she confirms, and the one that the man that you're now living with is not your husband. So Jesus uses the circumstance. He knows the circumstance. He knows the woman even before he has actually had a conversation with her. Because he is the one sent of God. He's given, if you like, the prophetic image of this woman's life. And he knows her circumstance. And so, let's continue with the next part of the story, where Jesus says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know, we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. And Jesus gives this little, if you like, theological reflection, this little lesson to her. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman shows that she has faith because she has heard the story of what she now says. The woman says, I know that Messiah, John puts in brackets, just as an explanatory note, called Christ, is coming. I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I who speak to you and me. What an incredible opportunity has now unfolded for this woman, for this outsider, in broad daylight, for everyone to witness, compared with last week's story of Nicodemus at night and the secretive way in which he came and shared his time with Jesus. Now, as the story unfolds, the disciples come back. They can't work out what on earth Jesus is doing, talking to this woman, this Samaritan, this outsider, whom Jesus has just moved inside. Jesus has brought her in. Now, this is in a time, mind you, where the testimony of women was not acceptable. Even for men, there had to be a second witness. For women, they could only testify through a man. And here is Jesus accepting this woman into faith, into eternity. We don't know her name. That's not important. It's what she does, what she says, what happens to her. That's the critical point. We continue from verse 30. They came out of the town and made their way to him. Sorry, I skipped a verse there. The woman goes back and she says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and they made their way to him. Then the disciples say to Jesus, "Listen, you're hungry, you're thirsty. You've had a chance to have something to drink. Why don't you have something to eat?" But then Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Again, the disciples this time are talking physical. Jesus is talking spiritual. The disciples are talking in realistic terms. Jesus is talking in unreal terms. Verse 34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And if we move down to verse 39, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" A couple of questions that I'd like to be able to invite you to think of for a moment. Imagine if this story had been of Jesus meeting a man at the well. Would it have had a different tone? Would it have had a different outcome? I think so. Certainly the encounter with Nicodemus was a different encounter. The woman was brought from being outside to inside. Now, connecting the story with real life, well, water, as we all know, is a very critical part of life. The human body is made up principally of water. The amount of rain that we've had over the last few days reminds us how much creation needs water. The change in the grass around the church has gone from being a light brown to a green almost overnight. Such is the need for water within creation. Water can also be very destructive though, can't it? Water can be incredibly destructive. Think of a raging sea. Think of the floods. People of Brisbane don't have to go back very far before they remember what the floods were like. And the devastation of seeing entire houses washed away. Seeing possessions floating down the Brisbane River. Water can be very destructive. Water is also life-giving. Harken back just a few weeks ago with the life-giving water of baptism that we witnessed in our church here, and the life-giving water that we have had placed upon us, all that we have been immersed in. Water is part of every human experience. Connecting with scripture now, connecting with that Bible passage, how do we join in? How do we join into that passage? Do we join in like the Nicodemus? Do we come quietly? Do we come secretively when we enter into a relationship with God? Or do we come in broad daylight? Do we come with eyes open as the woman from the well came, and then experience an incredible blessing? Nicodemus was blessed too, don't get me wrong. But the woman at the well was blessed, I believe, even more. Then where do we fit in the story? Would we be like the person or one of the people in the town that heard the testimony of the woman and then went to find Jesus? Are we like that? Are we someone who has heard about Jesus and then come to find out for ourselves? How do we fit into the story? Well, I would hope that we all fit into the story from living water. I would hope that we all seek a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would hope that we could all identify him as the Christ, as the Messiah, the Saviour. I would hope that each one of us comes into that personal relationship, like the Syrophoenician woman, like the Samaritan woman did in that encounter. John later in the Gospel reminds us that it will be greater for those who come to faith who have not been a personal witness of Jesus' life on earth. It will be greater for us to come to faith because we don't have the personal witness of Jesus. We can't walk up to him, we can't touch him, we can't physically see him. But we do have the witness down through the ages. We do have Holy Scripture. We do have others that have experienced the living water in their life, that we may gain the living water ourselves. So to finish up, how is this physical water that the woman sought and the spiritual water that Jesus offered, how are they the same? They're life-giving. You know, when you're thirsty, when you are thirsty, how beautiful it is, how wonderful it is to have a drink of water to quench your thirst. So it is the living water. It is the life. When we gather and we quench our thirst in the name of Christ, we are revitalized. We are re-energized for the tasks that we have. The task may be to go and tell someone else, like the Syrophoenician woman. It may be to gather together and talk about it. It may be living water, revitalizing, re-energizing. And that's what we're about. Gathering together, being re-energized, revitalized, the tasks that we have ahead of us this morning.